Richard Libby was as helpless as a duck flying in hunting season. His combat glider was locked in formation only a few hundred yards off the ground as the shadows below lengthened on D-Day in Normandy. The enemy's coal-red tracer fire seemed to walk down his tow rope from the plane towing him toward his cockpit. Anti-aircraft bursts rocked the glider as shrapnel sliced through its fabric skin. By the final glider mission on D-Day, German gunners had been honing their accuracy since sunrise. They had opened fire shortly after Libby and other glider pilots had crossed Normandy's beaches. In only minutes, they would reach the landing zones where they would release, turn, drop, and crash land. But not before chunks of sheet metal peeled off wounded aircraft engines, coughing fire, and swatches of glider fuselage fabric fluttered away in the Armada's prop wash. The fields below didn't look like the photos Libby had been shown in the pre-flight briefings. Are we off course? He watched gliders ahead of him cut loose and turn toward the ground. Is this our landing zone? Wait too long and I'll be way into German territory. To hell with it. Libby released from his tow plane, pushed his glider's nose down and to the left, and looked for any place to land. There. Looks big enough. His co-pilot started calling out the glider's altitude as Libby leaned into the glider's dive. 100, 120, 100, 100, 100, 90, 85. Full flaps, Ray, Libby ordered. We'll hit the trees at the edge of the field. Damn, full flaps. God, this is it. Libby and his co-pilot heard the trees scraping the bottom of their glider. Slowed, they somehow cleared the hedgerow and dropped down onto the field, hard, crushing part of the landing gear and spinning to a stop. Then the terror began. Machine gun tracers swept across the furrow where Libby and his co-pilot lay after scrambling out of the wrecked glider. Libby froze. I could not think. For the first time, I was so scared that I could not think. In a few seconds, I started to breathe again, and we started moving. The first glider pilot I saw was Ben Winks' co-pilot. Where's Ben? Ben's dead. Two words, yelled over war's cacophony, would haunt Richard Libby for the rest of his life. Ben? His buddy had been so full of confidence and was sure he'd be coming back. Instead, he had slammed into a row of trees, crushed between them and the howitzer and quarter-ton truck he had carried a few feet behind his seat. It was his first combat mission. In the coming 9 months, Libby would fly in two of the largest and deadliest glider missions of World War II, alongside thousands of other young glider pilot volunteers, most only a few years removed from high school dances, summer jobs, and family dinners. The older sons of farmers, seamstresses, migrant farmhands, teachers, the jobless, policemen, shopkeepers, loggers, and plant workers stood on the threshold of manhood in 1940. Many were teenagers nearing high school graduation, working odd jobs, helping bring in the harvest, and eager to see their girlfriends. Some were in college, and a few had enlisted in the U.S. Army or their state's National Guard. More than a handful had married and started families. But as the Great Depression's dust finally began to settle, war loomed. The only life they knew on ranches, in towns the size of a single cafe, and in cities could soon evaporate as America mobilized for war. Final exams would be replaced by soloing in an aircraft with no guns, no motors, and no parachutes. Friday night larks and girlfriends might be recalled in letters sent home. Friends would be killed instead of ragging on each other while hanging out over a milkshake. Bruising tackles would be replaced by anti-aircraft artillery shrapnel, shredding the fuselage or machine gun fire ripping into the man sitting in the next seat. Marriage would have to wait until this thing is over. The rest of life would stall as well.